The Money Show.
Business Unusual.
With Colin Cullis.
Business Unusual brought to you by Nedbank Business Banking. In the trenches of business, it's easy to lose sight of what matters. So partner with the bank that sees the bigger picture. Nedbank Business Banking. Colin Cullis. Moo. Why are you talking milk?
I was fascinated with the new companies that are looking to provide alternatives. Not that alternatives to milk are necessarily new, but as a quick aside, I have to mention somebody who has been absolutely milking it this week. Elon Musk is a regular sort of person focusing Business Unusual, and a remarkable week he's had, both for having had to deal with getting COVID-19, but then also getting his second successful space launch and getting astronauts up to the space station, and then finding out Tesla is going to be included in the S&P, which means he's the third richest man on the planet. Not bad for a week's worth of doing various things.
Send a rocket up into space, make some cars, smoke some weed on a podcast, get super rich. I mean, that's not bad, actually.
Yeah. And so maybe I can thread a couple of extra things into this particular weird take about milk, because it is a product that South Africa, the whole world has been using for thousands of years. In fact, when it comes to the term cottage industry, this is kind of the origin of it, because you'd have an animal that you would use for meat, but then you could get milk from it, and from the milk you would create some butter and some cheese, and then you could sell off the excess and get the returns on that, and then eventually the meat. This is kind of how we got the term cottage industries. And then the second one that we're very grateful specifically to cows for is that dairy farmers at one point were known to become immune to smallpox because they had contracted the less problematic cowpox. And from cowpox, we built the first sort of vaccine that allowed us to eradicate smallpox. Couldn't have done it without the dairy farmers. And what was even more surprising to me, and I did figure we make a lot of the stuff, but when you're looking for the stats for this, 500 million metric tons produced a year. Now, not all of that will be consumed as milk. Invariably, a lot of it will go into making butter and cheeses because there's, of course, a lot of separation from there. But man, it is hard to transport milk. And it's a testament to just how good dairies have got that you can go to just about any country in the world, walk into a local store and find a fresh and safe bottle of milk for you to buy at a reasonably low price, despite the fact that milk almost instantly wants to sour and start turning into all sorts of things we don't want, that we have to package it up into relatively small amounts, given that they deal with volumes in the millions of metric tons, and invariably have to keep it at a price that is kind of low to allow us to still buy it. So in this story of disruption, I think it might be the nicest disruption yet, one that dairies may actually welcome.
It's astonishing, isn't it? I mean, I love the way you put it, because having had family members in the dairy trade and really, really struggled, because every kilometer you are away from the milk production plant, your dairy is away from the central depot, costs you money to deliver the milk, and oh my goodness me, it is a nightmare. Cows get sick and then they don't, you know, give as much milk as you thought. It's a nightmare of an industry. There are people who are very good at it, they're well located, but yes, the miracle of milk in the fridge is nothing short of astounding. And I think we've forgotten that because we take it for granted like so much else. But sorry, carry on, Colin.
Okay, so this is then where the alternatives come in. And I suppose maybe the first reason that we even required the alternatives was some people just are lactose intolerant. And further out from Europe, that tends to increase. And so people just weren't that interested in it or were looking for some alternatives. And so this is probably how we got our first option that wasn't that. It was soy milk. Although it's a sustainable crop. It's easy to grow. They come from soybeans. They are nice. You know, once you've actually made your soy products, the soy milk itself is a lot more stable, a lot less likely to spoil, but probably doesn't score very high in terms of taste for a lot of people. So while that is probably the best known and maybe still one of the most popular ones, it's probably not going to be the one that's going to have the longest staying power in this list, by my opinion. The next kind are the nut-based milks, and there are quite a few of them, with almond milk probably being the best known. But there again, the environmental impacts of growing almond trees, which need specific kinds of pollination, they do use quite a lot of water, might make them a little tricky, even though the milk itself is apparently very nice and can be used for making things like baking, which is another challenge for the non-dairy alternatives, is you can't really make butter and cheeses or bake with them very easily, although some you come pretty close. But the other nuts that you do get, cashews, coconuts, hazelnuts, and even macadamia nuts. So all of those work. Unless, as I say, you have a nut allergy, in which case, scratch them all off the list. You've got to keep looking. And then the next one that you have, and it's a huge sector because it's milk made from rice. And that's probably one of the largest, if not the second largest, cereal crop we have on the planet. So that does sound like a very good sounding alternative. We certainly have got a lot of it. And again, the milk itself will be quite stable. So it can be transported, can be used for use in other cooking materials, etc. But given that we eat so much of the rice, making milk from it might not be the best thing to do with it. And of course, rice does have to grow in water. So for parts of the world, and increasingly parts of the world, they're going to have troubles with being able to provide lots of water. Maybe rice milk is still also not looking so high up on the list. And then we get to the last of the sort of relatively well-known ones, or the one with the least useful name in English, because pea milk is going to need a lot of brand work. I think you'll agree.
It will, yes.
Despite it being a fantastic crop, it's a legume, so it actually refertilizes the soil. So using it as part of a crop rotation would be excellent. It's very high in protein. So for many things, it ticks the box. But on the branding score, whoever gets that account is going to have to try and find some alternative. And I haven't tasted it, but I do understand it could be quite useful when it comes to blending them. And this seems to be where the future of the alternative milks lie. You make the best out of a batch of these ones. And now we come to the sort of newer ones, the ones that I wasn't aware of, or more recently have become quite popular in terms of new startup disruptor businesses. Weed, marijuana, seems to be available to make absolutely everything. So I'm including it on this list because, yes, you can make milk from it. And while the milk supposedly has sort of a seedy, nutty flavor, perhaps that is exactly your cup of tea. But then whether or not it actually works in a cup of tea, that's something else. In fact, this is the other challenge. Given that coffee is kind of a very big reason why lots of people use milk, it is always going to be a challenge to say, if you can convince a coffee drinker to switch from regular milk to these other alternatives, you potentially got a very good market. But having said that, real coffee fans will probably tell you, I don't use milk in coffee. What are you talking about? That would be sacrilege. So then it comes to my rising star, oat milk.
I was wondering when you were going to get to oat milk, because now they're also, but see, the clever marketing aspect of this is sort of barista quality, because baristas would choose oat milk over cow milk. And you go to the, hold on a second, but this is the same stuff in box after box after box, but oh no, it's all barista quality, and they're getting very clever at the way they sell it.
Indeed, and so this is part hype cycle and part exceptionally good marketing. And it seems that the focus is on this one particular company called Oatly, who's also stirring up a lot of business interest. They're looking to list a little bit later this year, and may, as a milk company, be worth more than many other well-established and very large dairies, in part because they have got a lot of celebrities backing this. They have got that sort of cachet for saying, if you're going to go down and you want a really good coffee or excellent baking and wonderful mouthfeel, and ice creams, I understand, are particularly good made with oat milk, then this could be your thing. The other plus for me is that while most of us are aware of sort of rolled oats sitting in your cupboard that you have when you run out of other cereals and stuff, is that you can make this stuff at home. And again, there's many online recipes and so channels and streams of Instagram accounts for people wanting to cash in on this thing and show you how to make all manner of products with oats, not only for sort of cosmetic purposes, but food purposes and now milk purposes. So I suspect that one is going to be the real darling for the next little while, and probably would help propel all of the other ones. The entire segment gets a big shove because of what they're able to do with their, well, good marketing and understandably a potentially good product. So we'll watch and see how that does, because that's probably the bellwether for how the rest of them move. And the real tell for me would be not to see how well do these startup disruptor companies work, but the likelihood of dairies themselves saying, actually, we want to use milk for the commercial production of butter, cheese, and baking products. And we absolutely have no problem growing oats on the pastures where we have dairy farms, because the cows can wander around in there and eat that to give other crops a bit of a rest. And then we harvest it and then we make milk from it. The milk is much easier to process. It'll cost a lot less to make. You know, it's just potential upsides all around, assuming they go that way. And then the last one I have for you is kind of innovative, because the company is called Take Two. And the reason they call themselves that, kind of like the Impossible Foods and the Beyond Burgers, they're looking to make this more of an environmental play for people who are looking for an alternative. And if I had to combine an interview you just did a little earlier with Heineken, you might see Heineken milk.
Some people think it is.
Yes, it actually, that I should have thought of that, because I might have regarded that way myself. And the point is, barley is the milk that this is made from. And while barley is used for many kinds of foods and things, a good chunk of it goes to the brewers because it's used for making beer. And then I suppose from that, whiskies and the like, you use the grains. And the thing is, once you've used the barley, they tend to sort of like hand it off and use it as animal feed or just toss it. And this Take Two company reckons they can use the spent barley, as it were, to make the milk. And then this is where they're combining stuff. So they'll add a bit of pea milk for a little bit of extra protein. They might use a bit of coconut for a little bit of flavor and extra fats. They might put a little bit of the oat milk in there because it's a nice creamy texture. And goodness knows what other things they might wind up blending. And this really does seem to be then the best of the best for getting an environmental element, getting a good taste element, getting your cost down, and actually making something that tastes nice. And once again, you can take the very large, well-known brands like a Heineken or just regular, you know, well-known dairies, would say, we now produce a wonderful range of barley milk for you to enjoy on your cereals and everything else. And in that respect, as I say, this is the best kind of disruption, because when you've got an established brand that introduces a new kind of consumable product that has now got a lot more interest from consumers who want to be more environmentally friendly, and then can say, this is going to cost us less and we can use the milk for something else, that would be excellent. However, and this is the real challenge they have to overcome, I asked in a small poll ahead of the show, how many of you would be willing to switch? I gave you the options, never, 48% had finished up on, depends, 32%, so there's the market, 16% says they don't use dairy anyway, and only 3% said they've already switched. So potential for growth, but it does look like they've got a bit of a wind from the front to get people to switch in the first place.
Colin Cullis with Business Unusual. He creamed it this evening. He milked it. He was spectacular. We'll see what he look forward to his other topic next week. US safety regulators, they've cleared Boeing 737 MAX plane to fly again. They've lifted grounding orders put in place in March 2019. So that's what, nearly 2 years, two deadly crashes. One at Ethiopian Airlines, of course. The plane model, 737 MAX, thrown into crisis. Tragedies, investigations, lots of blame. Well, existing aircraft together need to be modified before they go into service. There are changes to design required. The financial woes for Boeing, of course, deepened by the fact that there's been so little air travel. But yeah, the 737 MAX, would you be comfortable? So, well, you wonder, but, you know, as Donald Trump, and one thing I did agree with Donald Trump on this year, by the way, was it should rebrand. They really should.